Hi, this is Michael Schillingo, and you're listening to One Montville Unites. Co-hosting with me, as always, is Bansri Modi Shaw. On today's program, we have Andrew Caggiano, Chief of Police for Montville Township. Today we're going to get an introduction to Chief Caggiano, understand his role in the community, talk a little bit about police reform in New Jersey, and get the Chief's take on his approach to racism in law enforcement. So, hi, Chief Andrew Caggiano.
Hello, Michael, and hello, Bansri.
Do you go by Andrew, Chief, Andy, Drew? What do you like?
Andrew is certainly fine.
And, you know, I'd like to introduce you to the town. Everybody knows you by reputation because you're in the paper every week and you're vocal in public events, and we see and hear from you all the time. But I wanted people to kind of get to know you personally a little bit about your background. So if you could talk about, you know, when you joined Montville Police and your experiences and maybe a little bit about your approach to the community.
Sure. So I should go back a little bit further. I grew up in this town. I moved here as a very young child and went through school here, graduated the high school here, went on to college, got my four-year degree at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City. So, which was a change of scenery, and it was a welcome experience. I joined the Montville Police Department in 1997, and over the course of my career, I've risen through the ranks up to the chief's position. But during that time, I spent time in our patrol division. I spent 13 years in our detective bureau. For 9 years, I was in charge of the detective bureau as a sergeant. And then once I was promoted to lieutenant, I spent the last few years leading up to becoming chief in the administration. So where we, I did officer training, did policy procedures, accreditation. So I have a pretty good view of the department and what we've gone through over the years.
Lots of different jobs. And I find, in my own work, I've gone through a lot of different roles within my experience. And it really gives you a flavor and an appreciation for what everybody that works with you does, and a great point of view. You can add quite a bit of empathy to when somebody brings you a problem because you've been there. What was your favorite job on the team so far?
By far, it was my time in the Detective Bureau. It was the really one of the best jobs to have in a police department. It's difference between being in patrol and being in the Detective Bureau is when you respond out to a scene or a scene of a crime, that becomes your case. And you get to see that through all the way through the court proceedings. So, you take ownership of it, care about it, and you really want a good result. And the good result is, to hopefully help that victim who is of that crime. So it truly was one of the best jobs in this police department. Was absolutely being in the detective bureau.
So it sounds like you bring a personal investment to your work that you like to have the visibility of all of the aspects of it. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say that's very true. It's a good opportunity. I mean, when you get to work a case from start to finish, you get to see it through. You get to really help the victims of these crimes and make a difference. So it was really a great thing to be able to do.
I'm sure there's also a lot of pride that comes with finishing a case and getting justice for these victims, knowing that you put in so much hard work because it's your case. So I'm sure that's a really satisfying part of being a detective.
It is. And we don't, as much as we take ownership of our cases, the guys that, guys and girls who work back there are certainly, or who worked with me over the years. You really get together as a team, and you really have to be a cohesive group to see these things through. So it's a great opportunity for teamwork, and it's a great opportunity to you spend a lot of time with those guys.
Shifting a little bit from the work, you're really active in the community too. I think a lot of people know who you are because you spend some time online and you spend some time interacting with the community. I've seen you out and about. Can you talk about how your approach? How do you find ways to interact with people on a people level rather than, you know, law enforcement? You're there. I mean, you're always wearing the uniform when you go to work. That's kind of your job, but you're a regular guy too.
So when I became chief in 2019, one of my goals was to really get out into the public. You know, I want to connect with the public in a broader sense than maybe I was doing in the past. And I had an interesting opportunity very early on in the beginning of 2019. I had been contacted by some of the administrators of the Mindful Moms group, and there was some concern about some of the recent residential burglaries we had had. So I saw this as an opportunity to start that outreach, and we met. And out of that conversation, you know, it seemed to be that there was a need for people want to know like more about like what crimes were going on, what was happening in the community with law enforcement. So we planned for a town hall meeting, and we had a very good turnout at the senior house. You know, some of the topics were some of the auto theft that had been going on and some of the residential burglaries that we had at the time. And some of the heroin issues that we have seen over the last few years. And we had a good turnout. We spoke, you know, I gave them that information. And one of the things though, that I wanted to make sure everyone left with was who I was. I made sure everyone had my business card when they left. And on that business card, I have not only my contact information for my work, but I also keep my cell phone number on that business card. So, you know, I wanted to become more accessible to the public, and I wanted the public to, you know who I was and feel comfortable, you know, coming to me.
Anybody take you up on calling yourself?
I did. I did have a caller. You know, she had a very legitimate question, and we spoke for a while, and, you know, I was glad to see that someone had taken me up on that offer. So I always welcome that. And, you know, I certainly, when I go to these events and so forth, and I hand out my card, you know, I certainly let everybody know that number's on there, and it's always on. So
it's very personable. Yeah. So non-policing question, you're a townie. I've only lived here for 15 or 18, 16 years. What's your favorite hangout in town? I was kind of partial to Poor Henry's, but it's closed now. Where do you like to hang out? Not endorsing a particular establishment in town, but if you had to pick a favorite.
I do over the years, and I think a lot of it, we wind up at Harrigan's once in a while. So yeah. it's always
great steak sandwiches.
Yeah, it's right down the street, and it's a friendly place. So
very cool.
I'll have to check it out. You know, it really seems like you are somebody who takes community engagement very seriously. And as someone from the community, I know I appreciate that very much. And as much as recent as this summer, on June 2nd, you submitted a very thoughtful letter to the TAP and about the George Floyd incident. And there was one line that I thought was particularly meaningful to me. And it was that the Montville Township Police Department strives to build positive relationships with our community. And the reason that's so important is because in any of these issues that we talk about, whether it's racism, police brutality, auto theft, or any of the concerns people have, it's really hard to make progress without a positive relationship between the community and the police and like open conversation. So I commend you for including that, because that's how we move forward. We need to involve both community and police. And I want to ask, like, what was your motivation in writing that letter? You know, what were your thoughts behind it?
So when the incident with George Floyd occurred, you know, I had to reflect on that for a day or so and think about, you know, how that affects law enforcement here in New Jersey. And, you know, first and foremost, I wanted to let the public know here that we don't condone what happened there. Don't condone that at all. But I also wanted to reinforce the fact that, you know, we strive, the men and women here strive to give the public the highest level of professionalism from our police department. And, you know, that community relationship, that relationship between, you know, the entire community, everybody within the community and this police department is of the utmost importance to us. You can't have a strong community without having a trusting relationship between the community and your police department. So I wanted them to be aware that we do value that relationship. It's something that we strive to maintain and make better. We have always tried to, you know, engage with the community, and sometimes we are better at, we're better at it sometimes than others, but you know, we do want to have that connection with the public and want them to feel confident that, you know, they do have a good police department.
You know, I don't have that much familiarity with the police or the history of police, but I've read a little bit about it. And I have noticed that in the past, there was a guardian type approach towards policing, as in the police saw themselves as guardians of the community, which is a much more togetherness type approach. And then that shifted to more of a warrior mentality. And now what you're talking about is kind of getting back to that guardian mentality, which helps hopefully everybody feel like they're being taken care of instead of they're being attacked, or it's a us versus them. So I think, you know, having that kind of approach is a much healthier approach. And, you know, we should continue to strive to grow that kind of togetherness and harmony between police and community.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think we ever stopped the guardian approach. You know, there's always those two schools of thought, but I think we have to be a little bit of both. And, you know, but I think if we have good community trust, you know, we can do a lot of good.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really great to have the relationship. The biggest part is having the relationship among the community members. And I think we did a coffee with a cop program a few years ago, and I really wish we had it now. You know, even virtually, if there's a way that I could have coffee with a cop once in a while and figure out a way to bring that back. That was a great program, and having that respect from the community and from the police for each other was is a fantastic thing that we can rely on. You know, we see a lot of conflict nationally going on. We see a lot of things happening. You know, and we talked about it with, you know, your letter talking about, you know, it's not okay to behave that way when we're talking about things that happened with George Floyd, with all of the other kinds of atrocities that happen now. But it's been the subject of movies and TV and reality for the longest time. And as a community, we watched Just Mercy recently and had a panel event on it just last evening, actually. And I want to just talk about that a little bit if we can. You know, there's movies, and then there's movies, right? So, you know, movies that are based on, you know, real events, and then there's, you know, Quentin Tarantino. But I think Just Mercy is one of those movies that, you know, we look at and say, you know, there's real stories in here. There's people's lives in here. And you see things that happen to, you know, Bryan Stevenson. You see things about, you know, that happened to Walter McMillan in the movie, and you kind of feel for these guys, right? You feel that, like, they might have gotten a raw deal, they might have been stuck in a system that wasn't really meant for them, but because of their circumstances, because of where they were, because of the color of their skin, because of the time of the period and time that they lived in, the hand that they got dealt was really, really tough. But reacting for me to some of the, when I was sitting watching it with my boys last weekend, you know, them asking me about, you know, do people really get pulled over like that? Just, you know, just because, or do, you know, do guys get strip searched like that just because? And I said, yeah, unfortunately, yeah, that happened. And I said, and it's difficult to see, you know, and it's difficult to parent. And I wanted to get kind of your reactions to some of what you, how you felt about some of those scenes in the movie that were a little bit, you know, controversial, but also real life. I mean, it happens.
So, you know, when I started watching, when I watched that movie the other night, you know, it does show that, you know, it does bring up, you know, racism. And we certainly know racism does exist in this country. You know, as much as I think we've come a long way, we certainly have a lot of work still left to do. It's not something that's going to disappear overnight. It's something that we continually work on, just as a community as well. You know, seeing some of those images where they pull someone out, you know, at gunpoint like that, or just what he was pulled over for. I mean, that's behavior that we don't condone. We certainly don't train our people that way. You know, I think we have to take this into account of the difference in time. I think policing is a profession. And as every profession grows, you know, they learn, and they learn to do things better. You know, there are certainly those incidents that occur, but there's systems in place to deal with those situations that are improper or wrong. You know, watching some, whenever I guess you watch police do something bad or wrong, it hurts all of us, because we strive to police, you know, our community in the right way. We all strive to be professional. You know, we expect our police officers to be professional, and it's hard to watch as someone who cares about the profession that they chose. And, you know, this is something I've always wanted to do, and to see those negative things is hard to watch. But, you know, that's how we grow, and that's how we make things better, though, too.
It's denigrating. I get that. I really do feel that when you're among a group of individuals who are like-minded and carry the same cause as you, but behave badly, they ruin it. They ruin it for everybody. And they always say, you know, it's a few bad apples, and a few bad apples spoil the bunch is the whole saying. And it hurts the reputation of everybody, just like you said. So how do we do it differently? Like, what's the approach? How do we take it from a level of the time? And we talk about, you know, times have changed, right? It's not the 1800s anymore, but we moved through the 60s and we moved through the 70s. Things still aren't perfect. And like you said, it takes a really long time to get better. And we listen and we learn, but what kinds of things are we learning?
So I think, you know, for us in law enforcement, we've especially in New Jersey, we've made some really good reforms over the years. And some of these reforms we've been doing for quite a while, and you hear them talked about nationally now, but, you know, I truly believe that policing in New Jersey is ahead of the rest of the country. And, you know, I think we've done some really good things here in New Jersey. And I think some of those reforms that we've done over the years have really made this a better profession. And, you know, people may not know about, you know, all these things that we've done. So, you know, that's, I think they should, you know, we like them to be aware of it, and want them to understand that, you know, we continually try to make this a better profession and continually try to do things in a better way. And we evaluate what we do and we look for better ways to do this job.
I think maybe, after some of the discussions that happened last night at the panel, maybe some people are wondering what kind of diversity training is happening in the police force. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's happening, because, unfortunately, that's not really common knowledge. It's information that's probably a little bit hard to get. So it would help viewers or listeners to just kind of understand a little bit about what you're talking about, maybe a little bit more specifically in terms of diversity training.
Sure. So New Jersey, there's quite a bit of mandatory training that happens every year. And some of the courses that these officers take, and this is every year they do this, is, use of force training, pursuit training, domestic violence training, de-escalation training we've been through, and, we continue to go through it. That goes in tail with our use of force training. The Attorney General had come out with training called Community Law Enforcement Affirmative Relations Training, and the acronym is CLEAR. So every year we have to do these courses that fall under the CLEAR training. And some of those that have fallen under that are, de-escalation with individuals with special needs or mental health issues, which those are the situations that sometimes lead to use of force incidents. Cultural diversity training, and there's a variety of speakers that, are involved in that training. And then we've also done training with law enforcement interactions with transgender individuals. That was just recently this year. We also have done training with law enforcement interactions with the Jewish Orthodox religion. So there's a broad spectrum of training that goes into this. We also do ethics training. We've also done racially influenced policing training, and every year we do legal updates training. So, and those are just a handful of the trainings that these officers go through year in and year out. I mean, there's additional training as well, but those are the ones that are more geared towards what we're discussing tonight.
How many hours of training a year are you talking about? That sounds like a lot of time in the classroom.
It is. Some of it is, some we do via classroom. Some we do through training modules that we can do online, which are helpful, because then they can do it at night. A slow evening, they can take care of some of the training then as well. But it is. It's a lot of training every year, but it's necessary. It's necessary for us to grow as a police department.
Yeah, and I think that's what. I'm sorry. I think that's what this whole conversation about, like, this whole movement is about, just growth, and I think that's something that I think people sometimes lose sight of, that individually and as a country, we're just always trying to grow. And that sometimes involves kind of reassessing how we're doing things and seeing which areas of improvement are there. So that's an important point to mention, that, like, we are all always trying to grow. That's part of the reason we're doing this podcast, because me and Michael both want to explore empathy and see how it can make us kinder people. But it's also about a larger conversation of how, as a country, we can move forward and grow to make this country safer for everybody. Now that you mentioned so much training that I didn't even know that was done, I'm curious, is this training that you mentioned mostly in New Jersey? Because it makes me wonder, what is happening in the rest of the country? Where, like, are they getting the same training? Because it kind of seems like, it seems like there's a lot going on in other parts of the country. And it makes me wonder, like, what kind of training they're getting. So everything you mentioned, is that more specific to New Jersey or nationwide?
No, so this is a New Jersey-based training. I'm sure there is other states are doing similar things. I know our Attorney General has been pretty active with doing, building community relations and getting some of this additional training here in New Jersey. So, but I can't really tell you what the other states. Some of the other things too, though, is I know use of force has been a huge issue.
Big deal.
And it's been a very big deal. And you know, I think part of that too is, you know, we look at all of our use of force incidents. You know, our use of force incident isn't overlooked here in New Jersey. For example, in our police department, if an officer uses force, there's actually two levels of supervisors who review the actual incident. Wow. So you have the immediate supervisor who will take a look at it. They'll look at the report. They'll look at the if there's any video from, you know, dash cams. They'll look at that, and then that gets forwarded to the captain in the operations section, who then will review the incident himself as well. So there's two levels of supervisory review for every single one of our use of force incidents. And with that is, I also have the opportunity to look at these as well. So I personally do look at each of these as well, in addition to those two levels of supervisory review. So not only do we review those incidents, but we have what's called an early warning system. So there's a number of incidents or a number of types of indicators that we look for, and we track them. So we track every use of force incident that occurs. You know, I can look very easily to see how many officers used force this year, who was it, and how many times did they use force this year. We track our pursuits. We track any internal affairs complaints. So we're constantly checking these things, and we're constantly checking these indicators to see if there's some other underlying issue. So we do monitor our officers in that respect. You know, and we do in New Jersey, we have a very strict internal affairs policy. So every complaint that we get, we do investigate. It can be, complaint can come from anywhere. It could be a letter mailed to us. It could be an anonymous complaint called in. It could be from a juvenile. It can be from an adult. So, you know, we take all of those seriously, and we investigate them all to their fullest. You know, those are things that we do, I think, really well in New Jersey. I think we are ahead of some states in that regard.
You mentioned, it sounds like you manage by math a lot. What do you have now in terms of tools, training, processes that you wish you had when you were an officer early back in the late 90s, early 2000s?
I think the biggest thing is the training that we do now. It's a lot more diversified than it ever was. You know, we didn't get a lot of those, you know, diversity trainings when I first started. We didn't get a lot of the de-escalation training that we get now. You know, those are things that, you know, I think are of the utmost importance. And, you know, the fact that we get them now and it's part of our, you know, it's becoming ingrained in this department that, you know, I really think I've seen it benefit us more than anything else.
If there's one thing that you wanted everybody in Montville to know or feel or take away from this conversation about the police in Montville, what would it be?
I really have to go back to the beginning and just echo the fact that the men and women here truly care a lot about this community. They're here to help people, all people of this community, and they take great pride in what they do, and they you know, they're here for everyone, and they truly value the relationship we have with the community. I have to kind of circle back a little bit, and with that, all the negative media out there about the you know, about the relationships with communities and police, I think we understand that the community does care about us. We saw that in unbelievable fashion during the pandemic this year. You know, countless people made donations of PPE, just the random person dropping off food to, you know, to these, you know, to the men and women here. We really did see a lot of, and just the thank yous these guys got from just people that they met in the community, you know, during this pandemic, really to me showed the amount of support that this community really does have for our agency. And, you know, we truly appreciate that.
And I think I can speak for everyone in our community that we appreciate that you are so sincere in your concern for everyone in the community and your efforts to build a relationship with the community instead of, you know, kind of just making it a one-way thing. So I hope that message comes across to all of our listeners. And I do hope that even though we're in a pandemic, we can find a way to continue a conversation between people in town, like something virtual, perhaps. The town hall you mentioned, I didn't make it, I missed that, but it sounded like a wonderful idea. And maybe something like that again, virtually, or I don't know. But I think it's something like that would be really worthwhile. And I think a lot of people in town would really appreciate that. So maybe, you know, we can give it a little bit of thought as the months go.
I mean, I'm certainly always willing to, you know, I do strive to connect with the community. So yep. Anytime that opportunity, whether it be going to a community group's meeting or, you know, just getting to talk to people, you know, while I'm out and about, it's truly a wonderful opportunity for me. And I certainly appreciate those moments.
And if you have any ideas about how you want to connect your team with the community digitally in any way, shape, or form, reach out. We, you know, through One Montville, we have a lot of different volunteers, a lot of different people with a lot of different ideas and capabilities. So I think there's anything that's possible, even when we're, you know, physically separated during a pandemic. And things are likely to get worse for a little while before they get better as the months get cold. But I think we can still connect with each other in a lot of different ways. So if you have any ideas, if your team has any ideas, let them know, give us a call.
That sounds great. And I want to thank you both for the opportunity tonight. It really is, you know, I do value to speaking to people in person, but during these times, this is, I guess, the next best thing.
Yeah.
Where a box will have to do for now.
Yes.
This is truly a heavier conversation than I prefer to have on a regular basis. But it's, the content is definitely worthwhile for everybody in town. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes. Thank you so much. This was a pleasure. And it was really wonderful to actually hear about these things that I don't think most of us really know about in terms of how policing is conducted here and all the background and all the training you guys get. So this was really wonderful, and I appreciate you taking the time out and, you know, spending so much time with us. Thank you.
Thank you. And it was truly my pleasure.